Have the power to know when your power's back on with Orange and Rockland's text alerts. They help you stay in the know about local power outages. Just text OUT to MYORU 69678 and follow the prompts. Messaging and data rates may apply. Orange and Rockland, everything matters.
Johnny got a toy golf set when he was three, and from that day on, he was hooked. All he wanted to do was golf, golf, golf. He'd be on the links before school, after school. All he ever wanted was to go pro. And then, one day, when he was holding his grandson and thinking about his 12 handicap, Johnny realized it just might not happen for him. But you know what did happen for him? He switched to Geico and saved a bunch of money on car insurance. So that was good, and so was hanging out with his grandson.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world.
Okay, so it is about 11 o'clock at night Eastern Standard Time, and I'm going to sort of summarize the last two conferences of the day. The first was the Bethesda conference, which I went into knowing either it's going to be amazing or going to be absolutely horrible. This was sort of a bit of a mixed bag. I'm going to lean more towards the horrible. The biggest thing to take away from this is, and I wasn't looking to go into this trying to talk it down or anything, they clearly planted most of the audience with super fans or people that were going to cheer for them, giving them t-shirts and stuff, because the crowd was nonstop clapping, and it looked like I was getting so furious at it that it almost looked like a parody, like something that the people that come up after this, Devolver Digital, would do. But like every inane, stupid thing they announced, people clapped and gave standing ovations to. They clapped and stood up and screamed and hollered for like cinematic videos that didn't show anything but a couple characters. It was kind of ridiculous. Anyway, what they ended up announcing was they apologized for some things, which they're not going to change anyway from their attitude. The first half of the show was basically all mobile and all the free-to-play microtransaction bullshit from last year. And I think they're going to burn a lot of fans even more than they did last year with these. Now, what did they actually announce? They said, hey, we're not going to actually show off anything for Starfield or the next Elder Scrolls because we don't have anything and we're not going to for quite some time, meaning they're going to crunch the shit out of it at the end and then eventually shit out something that's not going to be very good. But what they did announce was the Elder Scrolls Blades, that bad mobile title, that's microtransaction to shit. They're going to be bringing that to the Switch as well, and they actually call it Switchblade, which I thought was kind of funny. So it looks like you'll be able to use the controllers, like the Joy-Cons, and in motion mode and in normal mode, and it might be okay as long as you're not willing to spend too much on the microtransactions. So that might be something fun to free-to-play on it. They announced a second season of Fallout 76, which includes NPC characters and a full complete storyline. Oh wait, like it should have had at launch that they purposely went out of the way to say that they didn't do. Now they came out and actually tried to cover their ass by saying that the first year was, this is how it was always planned, the first year was for you to settle the land, the second year is for you to conquer the, you know, everything. And I'm like, that's complete bullshit, because all their PR, every single ad they had come out before, talked about how it was a fundamentally different game and it was not going to have any of this. So they're backpedaling, trying to retcon things and lie about it, and the audience was eating it up, and I was visibly grinding my teeth and shaking my fist like, what are you doing? You can't lie like this to people and then have everybody clap for you. That's like Hitler stuff. Like, getting him to like, yeah, we're going to kill all the Jews. That's the kind of bullshit like the fervor the fans had. Like they could have grabbed a puppy, brought it on stage and murdered it and they would have clapped. So Birdman had mentioned that he was like when he direct messaged me and said, hey, I think this is pretty cool, but, you know, too little too late. Like, this is far too late to fix it. And it's true. They lost about 80% of their audience or their potential audience with the bullshit they pulled last year. And they're not going to get them back. They're going to get maybe 20% back. Like, it might be something to try, but unless this game goes completely free to play, including all the DLC, I'm never going to play it. It's too buggy and bullshit. So they also talked about The Elder Scrolls Online, showed off a trailer. This is the one I was talking about where they showed off a trailer, which was just not in-game graphics at all. It was just animated, like 3D animated, like high-end sort of Blizzard-type stuff, where it showed the Khajiit, and it was a really cool cat. It looked like Birdman's Dr. Wily cat happened to be a rogue. And that was all cool and everything, but they didn't show any fucking gameplay. And it was woefully, dreadfully, you know, not showing any substance at all, and people clap for it. So I'm like, well, that's a dud. Then they go and show off some more DLC for Fallout 76. They also show off Commander Keen, which I started to get hyped for. I'm like, oh, Commander Keen, I remember that from being a kid on the shareware sites. Now it looks like it's going to be a Commander Keen for a new generation. They hype it up how they're bringing it back for the newest generation for kids. They're going to have this big rollout to basically drum up interest in it, and it turns out it's not a fucking platformer. It's a mobile stupid ass microtransaction game, and it looks like it's complete bullshit. It's never going to be fun. It's dead in the water. It's like they're pandering to China, or they're pandering to a perceived market that doesn't exist. Like, you're going to E3 to show off things to gamers. This is just the kind of game that should have been shown off at like the Apple conference or something that shows off mobile gaming, not at E3. So that was pretty disappointing. Then they show off Elder Scrolls Legends Moons of Elsewhere, which is another fucking stupid card game, but it happens to have amazing graphics. Garbage. Just absolute garbage. And I'm getting all the bad out of the way. They did go and actually put out a pretty good second half of their show. The second half included Ghostwire Tokyo, which I believe Mike said it was from the creator of the Resident Evil franchise. And they didn't show any gameplay, but they showed, you know, pre-production sort of footage. I'm assuming they're going to show more and it might come out next year sort of thing. It looks very unique. It was very realistic graphics with ninjas and sort of Japanese folklore. Very like Ghost of Tsushima sort of feel. I'm down for that. That actually looks good because it's not made by Bethesda. It's made by somebody else and they're publishing it. So that was good. They showed off crap for Rage that nobody gives a shit about. Rage is dead. Let's be real about this. Then they showed off Wolfenstein Youngblood, which looks colorful, fantastic, amazing. The studio that does all the Wolfenstein games is not one of the main studios. It's out in Europe. And the guy presenting it, I felt bad because I was like, he looks like the Swedish chef. He talks like the Swedish chef. That's not a detriment. That's a compliment. He was charming and amazing, and he showed off Cyberpilot, the VR game that unfortunately nobody's going to play because VR is not where it needs to be and probably dead in the water. But Wolfenstein Youngblood looks fantastic. It looks like a 80s neon splashed crazy shooter. It just looks super fun, and it's also going to be like $40 for a standalone game, so I am so down for that. I'll pay for that, or I'll play it on Stadia or something when it comes out. Then they showed off another cool game called Deathloop. Now Deathloop is from the creators of Dishonored, that studio in Europe, the French studio, and it looks pretty cool. Again, they didn't show any gameplay. They showed another video that was actually very well made, but it has a very grindhouse sort of feel where it's like guns and swords and ridiculousness. Should be pretty fun. That's one to keep an eye out for. So that's Deathloop. Then they showed off finally Doom Eternal. They talked about, and Doom Eternal looks great. It already looks fine before, and we've seen demos of it. But what they showed off was a battle mode that makes it look like a first person. It's like a first person shooter fighting game, but it's like you're either the demon going attacking the slayers, or you're a slayer attacking the demons. It looks kind of neat. And they talked a lot about this. It's called Orion. It's their streaming platform that's going to do, like, their engine for building their games is now going to have streaming processing power built into it. So the really neat thing there is they'll be able to run, it'll be things like, if you have your Switch on Wi-Fi, your Switch will now be able to play more advanced games like a Doom without having to compromise speed, because it'll stream a lot of the complex computations in the background through your internet, that sort of thing. I'm assuming it's the same thing they worked on, because they were working with Google on Stadia to get their game, like the original Doom, working on there. Not original, but like Doom was in 2016, working on there for quite some time. And it was one of the games they were demoing internally, and they already said that Doom Eternal is going to be coming out on Stadia. So I'm assuming that they learned something from working with Google and then built that code into their engine, made a proprietary version, which is pretty cool. They probably won't admit that, but that's definitely something that they worked out when they were working with Google, because they've been working with that for a while. Now,
let's consider the secret life of the innermost nesting doll. Living most of her life in the dark, inside the other nesting dolls, she has plenty of time to think, if she could. Sadly, she has no brain. However, when an innermost nesting doll hears that Geico not only saves people money, but also has been providing great service for over 75 years, she thinks it's obvious you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Pity the innermost nesting doll and her lot in life.
Geico presents, yikes, another voicemail from your roommate.
Sup, roomie? Hey, a pipe burst in the basement. It's completely flooded. Anyway, I called for someone to fix it, but in the meantime, I was thinking we could finally have that indoor pool party we've always wanted. I got some cool swan floaty things already going. Could you pick up some chips on your way home? Later.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if your roommate isn't the brightest pool float in the flooded basement. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
Because of this, I know Birdman had said, hey, I think it's going to be an October release, and I said, dude, I think it's going to be the end of November, because they're going to want to line it up with the Stadia release, and lo and behold, it comes out like a few days after Stadia, so I'm assuming it's going to be a thing where if you're, it's not official, so this is just my opinion, but I'm assuming if you're a founder edition owner of Stadia, you'll probably get access to it early by a couple days. And I'm down with that. I think, personally, PC gaming for me is going to be moving completely to Stadia or streaming games, because unless it's like an indie title, because I don't want to have to keep upgrading my computer. Like what I'm recording, you know, to pull back the curtain back a bit, I'm using an Asus Republic of Gamers laptop from about 5 or 6 years ago that my brother gave me when he upgraded to something new. He just gave it to me as a birthday present this year. And it can do video decoding, video encoding. It's an i7, so it was a pretty good one. It has a 500 gig solid state drive. I'm using it as my recording computer, basically, in my bedroom of the apartment to record, you know, these, because it's good for that, and it's good for very basic gaming, but it can't do really true 1080p gaming anymore. It's too slow for that. But it can do any indie titles, no problem, or any emulated titles or streaming titles, that sort of stuff. It'll be fantastic for that. And my computer, that's my main media rig hardcore, I say in quotes, gaming computer, it's right now it's running an AMD processor, and I'm looking to upgrade it to the Ryzen series that comes out in July. And it's got I put in a NVIDIA GTX 1050, which can do entry-level 4K, but mostly I got it to do video streaming and editing, and, you know, that's good. I got a bunch of probably 4 or 5 terabytes of hard drives in there. I've got a dedicated Sound Blaster X sound card so that I can back up and record my records that I buy. I buy vinyl, clean them up, and then that way I don't have to play them on the record player. I play the exact image of it on my computer in high resolution. So I've got it for that, and that's going to be what I use for the next few years, and I don't want to have to keep upgrading video cards. And with using Stadia, I won't have to, especially for that sort of stuff, because, I mean, I've got an Xbox One X, I've got a PS4 Pro, I'll be upgrading to the PS5 and whatever the next Xbox is, and I've got a Nintendo Switch to cover, so I've got all my bases covered for reviewing and everything and playing in the highest quality I can on each of those respective systems. But I've never really been, since like high school, a hardcore PC gamer, because I'm not going to invest several thousand dollars in a PC every couple years. Whereas this way, like even with a Chromecast Ultra, yeah, it'll work. I don't think it's going to be perfect, but I'll be able to have like a $300 computer, like literally a $300 or $400 computer will, because you need to have one that could do like the full 4K streaming. You have it $300 or $400, you can have a computer that could then play everything at 4K Ultra HDR maxed out, and still have a really good computer when it comes to video decoding and streaming, or even recording your streams. And that's going to be the best balance. I don't care if I have to spend $11 a month for that. It's a lot better in the long run. Anyway, rant over on that. Doom Eternal looks fantastic. And that's how they closed out their show. So there's not, there wasn't anything super special. There wasn't any big, big premieres. They had a few previews with Deathloop and as well as Commander Keen was terrible, but Ghostwire and Deathloop look interesting for sure. And that was pretty much it for their show. Fuck them and their manipulative bullshit. Fuck that audience that thought it was fantastic. They can take it right up the ass. I don't give a fuck. That was terrible. Anyway, lightening the mood, the next conference was fan-fucking-tastic. That was the Devolver Digital one. They always do that show that subverts what your expectations are and makes fun of themselves. So that came on. It was a few minutes late starting, but it was on Twitch, and it came on, and it was basically RoboCop themed, because last year the host of their show was destroyed and died, and like they keep continuity between each one. You kind of have to go back and watch 2017 and 2018 to really get a feel for it. Maybe even, I think 2016, maybe, whatever. 2017, 2018, watch those. They're 20 minutes apiece. Their conferences are more of a presentation. Like, they don't have anybody there, but they pretend that they do, and you're basically watching a 25-minute, like, Adult Swim video that then has them presenting their games in between ridiculous shit happening. So this year was no different, and it was RoboCop-themed. There were moments of Sliders and Stargate wormholes. There was Cronenberg references to Videodrome, even. Like, we're talking, like, these are pretty obscure Canadian movie, horror movie from the early 80s references that they're throwing into here. So kudos to them. They showed off a few titles, and just the overall feel is just ridiculous Adult Swim infomercial weirdness that you can sort of expect, like Too Many Cooks sort of stuff. So Devolver is probably the closest, as far as developer slash presenter goes, the closest to understanding what their audience is and connecting with them. So this is always my favorite, my favorite conference to look at, my favorite presentation. So what they ended up announcing were a few titles, and one of them I really hope is real. So they showed off My Friend Pedro, which is the weird parkour crazy shooting game that I think you're a banana. You're a Spanish banana watching or playing a game on TV. Weird, right? Whatever. So the other games is they revealed a thing called Fall Guys, which looked kind of interesting and colorful. Then they introduced an expansion that was free for The Messenger called Picnic Panic, which is going to be a tropical sort of game. Again, I'm not going to spoil what happens with the plot of their ongoing show because you have to watch it. Just look up Devolver Digital on like Twitch or on YouTube, and you'll find it. And it's called the Devolver Digital Big Fancy Press Conference. Look up 2017, 2018, and 2019 because they're fantastic. Now, they revealed the Devolver bootleg television commercial. It's basically a game that's a bootleg of all of their other games with puns based on their other games, all wrapped up into one with a bunch of mini games. Very interesting. Going to be very cool. Very meta. They also introduced Carrion. Now, Carrion is a horror game where you're like, there's a, think like John Carpenter's The Thing, only you're playing The Thing, attacking everybody, and it's beautiful pixel art, looks fantastic. And then the other thing they announced, which I'm hoping ends up being completely real, it may not be, but I really hope it is Enter the Gungeon, House of the Gundead, which is sort of a House of the Undead, but it's done in a pixel art 16 or 32-bit 2D pixel art thing. But it looks like it's an actual arcade machine. They're saying it's going to go to actual arcades. I really hope it does. Like, it would be cool if they just made it for home use, but I would really like to go to my local barcade, like I went to one for my brother's bachelor party, and be able to pop a quarter in or just play it on free play and use it as guns, because they had a mocked up. It looked like it was a functional arcade cabinet, and you're going to want to check that out. It looks really cool. So they're really got their finger on the pulse when it comes to like what meme culture and gaming culture, especially. It seems like the videos are made specifically for people in their mid-20s to 25 to 45 is their age group that they're going for, which is kind of cool and perfect. Now, they closed off their show and then went, actually, I'll tell you something that is really interesting. So the feed was on, and they started the show, and then something happens, and somebody's neck gets snapped, and then it immediately cuts the feed, and people in the chat in Twitch were like, what's wrong with the feed? What's wrong with it? They just didn't get that it was all part of it. And then immediately it cuts in and some things have happened and it was all part of the show. They actually used the real world to influence and affect how their presentation went, which is really interesting. So once that was over, they had a thing saying, stick around. They basically made fun of the Nintendo Treehouse, where I don't even know if it's still on, but they said it was going to go till midnight or something, which is ridiculous. It probably went for another half hour or so, but it was a Nintendo Treehouse type show, but almost done like the Eric Andre show, like very, very Adult Swim weird, like just ridiculous shit was happening. They were playing weird games that don't seem to really exist. And I was just looking at the chat feed as 80,000 people slowly started to leave, not understanding what's happening. I'm going to have to go back and look at it after, but they are just my kind of weird. So kudos to them. I can't wait. I'm already waiting till next year. Like, what are they going to do next year? They already did like RoboCop Terminator type stuff. So I have no idea what they're going to do, but it's going to be really, really cool. So, you know, we had a bad conference with Bethesda, and then we had a really good one with Devolver. So it balances it out. So far, the Xbox One has been the highlight for me as far as actual like presentation goes. As far as just being the most fun, Devolver Digital, obviously, hands down. Now, coming up tomorrow at 1 p.m., there is going to be the PC show, which I normally would skip. In past years, Mr. Christopher has watched it for us. But I'm probably going to watch it because they might be showing off more Stadia stuff or more technology, more things that are going to come to it. I think that might be where they go, because there was a lot of talk at these other conferences about doing a lot of AI gaming and like cloud-based gaming. So I think that's going to be the focus of it. I want to see where that goes. And after that, we end up having in the afternoon, I believe it's probably about 4 or 5 or so when it starts, I'll have to double check, is the Ubisoft show, and I'll be covering that. I'll probably cover, I might do the PC one as a separate coverage, and then I might do the Ubisoft and the Square Enix one after as a combined show, so there may be two more tomorrow. There might be one or two shows tomorrow, depending on how much data and how many things I've read about and covered that we want to talk about. So, and after that, then there's Nintendo on Tuesday, and hopefully something from PlayStation. If not, whatever. And then I believe Thursday, Birdman and I are going to get together and talk about the roundtable, like how did it perform, how did it go? Because by then, pretty much everything should have been announced. And of course, if Sony decides to do something weird, like on a Friday, we'll talk about it on the main Twig show. But that's going to do it for tonight. I'm going to get this up and edited, and hopefully it'll be out before midnight so everybody can download it. It's been a pretty fun beginning to E3 so far, and I really hope it keeps, you know, up this momentum tomorrow.
Okay, son, now you're starting to scare the viewers.
Just act normal.
I'd ask you to do the same, but I'm afraid that ship has sailed.
Why are there so many ostriches?
But you have a game that is dipped into the ha ha!
Ropey, thick, window cocking.
So guys, we'll be right back right here on This Week in Geek, only on thisweekingeek.net and many other sites where I syndicate this crap, because I'm a media slut.
I like turtles.
Loose like your mom.
That's right.
No fisting, you say. Anything else you object to?
Me lucky tater tots.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net for more geek content, and subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Follow and message us on Twitter at This Week in Geek. And check out our Instagram at twig_official_podcast. And if you're the good old-fashioned email type, send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time. And remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Genji 2 is an action game which is based on Japanese history. The stages of the game will also be based on famous battles which actually took place in ancient Japan. So here's this giant enemy crab.
Octodad Deadliest Catch will stagger awkwardly on a PlayStation 4. Now, although historically accurate, This game does not contain giant enemy crabs.
And now, a thought from Geico Motorcycle.
It took 15 minutes to take a spirit animal quiz online.
Please be the cheetah. Please be the cheetah.
And learn your animal isn't the cheetah, but the far less appealing blobfish.
Oh, come on.
To add insult to injury, you could have used those 15 blobfish minutes to switch your motorcycle insurance to Geico.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on motorcycle insurance.
Geico presents yet another voicemail from your roommate.
Hi. So, about the kitchen. Turns out, when there's a grease fire, you're not supposed to throw water on it. Who would have known, right? Anyways, the fire department is here, and it's totally cool. Give me a call back when you get a chance.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if danger is your roommate's middle name. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.